I'm just going to give him my notes for this morning, see what he can do with that. Appreciate that, Jacob. Excellent job. Again, today's Academy Day. Just making a deal of ministry that we have here at Walker Bible Baptist Church. Thankful for our school. Certainly thankful for our staff. Mr. McDowell, where are you? Where's Mr. McDowell? Where is he? He's in Spanish Church, all right. Mrs. Huber, can you stand for us? Very good. Thank you. Mrs. Hodges, Miss Calliope, Mrs. Buck. They love it when I call on them. So appreciate them. This is our staff that works daily with our students. Again, very thankful for each of them. Really, really appreciate them. Thank you very much. And I do recognize that not all the students that come to our church here come to our school, and I understand that. And we have a homeschool division, and some attend public school. We love you all. We love you all. Just want to make this weekend kind of kicks off registration for next year. So it just is a special day that we make about our school here. And again, so many of you volunteer and help. There was no possible way that we could recognize everybody that has had a hand in our school, but we are very, very thankful. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Appreciate Brother Naparello this morning providing some little palm crosses this morning. He picked those up for us. And a few weeks ago, we talked about I looked it up. It was more than a few weeks ago. I think a few weeks ago, but it was beginning of February. We preached a message on the first time the word rejoice shows up in your Bible. And that brought attention to the palms. And the week before Christ enters, as he's entering Jerusalem that day. You know what? While you have Ecclesiastes, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 21. We'll just look at a couple verses real quick. Matthew 21. Today is what we would designate as Palm Sunday, and Matthew chapter 21 and verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way, and the multitudes that went before that had followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of our Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Look with me to Mark chapter number 11. Not too many stories show up in all four Gospels. This is one, Mark chapter 11 and verse 8. And he spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. We have certainly something to celebrate and rejoice over. Luke chapter 19 and verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice of all the mighty works that they had seen. Luke 19 and verse 38, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And lastly, John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. In verse 12, it says this, John 12, 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Big deal was made when he came into Jerusalem. Big deal ought to be made when he came into our hearts. And praise the Lord for that. There was much rejoicing over that. And this kind of begins the final week of Christ's life. And we will see the resurrection celebrated next Sunday. I invite you back for that. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Hopefully you held your hand there. If not, it's okay. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Nope, chapter 4 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. No matter where you're at, just look like you're supposed to be there. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 says, Two are better than one because
they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one that one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, and he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, and then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And the Bible says this, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you for that special day when you rode into Jerusalem. Lord, thank you for those that were there and worshiped and praised your name. And God, I'd like to think if that day was today, that's where we would be. God, as we assemble here together today again, our desire is to worship and glorify your name. Lord, I pray you bless the preaching here today. Use it to stir our hearts about how we can do better within our homes, within our church, and maybe even within our school. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve others. Lord, we sure do appreciate your example. Lord, we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your mercy, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 was written by Solomon. He has some helpful words to us. And the Bible says in verse 12, we get this visualization, if you will. If you've ever looked at a rope or anything, it's not just if you examine cloth carefully and closely, we have a powerful microscope that was given to us here at the school, and part of it we take a follicle of hair and look at a strand of hair and see how it's hollow. Man, so cool, super neat. And then you could take some cloth and look at it, and you see all the mini fibers in that. Hey, if you had a rope, you don't just have a single strand of cloth. No, that would snap and fray and come apart easily. What happens with rope, and kind of similar if you have your bulletin this morning, on the front of that bulletin we see that twisted up rope. The purpose of doing that twist or that interweaving of thread, intertwining of the thread, is for strength. The strength of that. Maybe some of you have one of those paracords or something like that, just in case you ever find yourself in an area and you need 8 foot of cord. Some of you have them wrapped around your wrist. I don't know, Brother Rice, what it's for, but somehow that's going to save your life. Anyways, those little cords are pretty strong. Why? Because they're all interwoven, intertwined, interdependent, if you will, intersupported. And that's kind of how... that's kind of how our life is. Our life has some areas or aspects to it that when these multiple things work together and aid together, wow, the Bible says there's some strength there. If we think about the leading of the Lord in our own life, if we take the Word of God and we mingle it with the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and then get wise counsel, hey, that's a wise threefold cord. There's going to be some safety in that. But if you come up with some idea, hey, this is what I think God is leading me to do, there's no scriptural basis, your counselors in your life are saying, hey, I don't think that's a good idea, there's no safety in that. But when all three things are aligned and all three things agree, it's like that threefold cord that just twisted about. Hey, there's strength in that. Well, so it is in our young people. Man, we love our kids. Our kids are in Sunday school right now. We have Sunday school teachers that have studied and worked all week, hopefully, or gave some attention and thought to their lesson. And there they are opening up the Scriptures and revealing the truths of the Scriptures to our young people. Why is it important to bring your children to church? Well, they're going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ just like they hear about it. And this is important, just like they hear about it at home. If we neglect one of these areas, well, you know what we just made? We just made that threefold cord not as strong as it could be. I'm not saying what your house has got to look like, but there ought to be some things there. See, for a young person, there are three major influences in their life. And I've been teaching and preaching this for over a decade. Pastor Huber and I had extensive talks with this, and we would discuss these things of how absolutely vital and important these things are to each and every young person. Our school is set up with a purpose and by design. And you know what? In a young person's life, a young child who is living in a Christian home, this is where this applies. When their home and their church and their school, when those three things agree, there is strength in that. Why? Because a young person is going to hear some things at home and then come to church and hear those same things. And know what that does? It makes mom and dad not as crazy as they thought. It's amazing to me how many people talk to me or say something like, you know, we're having kids now. It's a good idea for us to get in. Why is there a desire all of a sudden to get into church? Because they know that they're going to have to say some things and they're going to need some backing. That gives some strength. Now imagine if the home teaches one thing and the church is teaching the same thing, and now all of a sudden where a young person spends a number of years, we'll say 12 years, also works hand in hand with that. Now, the Bible says this, that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Saying, is this a flawless? No, eventually each and every young person is going to have to make a decision for Christ. We know that, right? Everybody has a free will. But man, there's some strength there. There's some safety there. So we're going to talk about that threefold cord this morning. The home, the church, and the school. And we'll do it briefly. Isaiah chapter number 32. Isaiah 32. Often in parent meetings, when I'm meeting with new families and things, I go over similar thoughts like this. I go over similar philosophies of child rearing right in our parent meetings. And I give this illustration an example, and I've done it 100 times. There you are, and you and I, maybe we can watch CNN News. Anybody ever watch CNN? No? Good. But there you are, you turn on CNN and you look at that and go, I don't think what they're saying there is true. Why? Because you have some wisdom, you have some experience, you consider the source, and you can somehow, in your wisdom and knowledge of God and what God says about things, you can look at that and go, you know what, I don't think, listen, not everything that's on the internet is true either. I know some of this, Liam, do you hear that? Not everything you read on the internet is true. Abraham Lincoln said that. Not everything on the internet is true. So for you and I, we can look at that and go, no, there's something fishy about that. When a politician gets up and says, here's what we're going to do. Yeah, that sounds right, but how are you going to get money for that? I feel like my taxes are going to go up. Or we look at that and go, but now imagine an 8-year-old little mind. See, you and I, we can decipher between good and evil. But imagine an 8-year-old little mind who is at home and lives in a Christian home and is being taught the Word of God, and then comes here on Sunday and is taught the Word of God, and then on Monday goes to school and is told it's okay for two men to be married. And that little 8-year-old girl looks at her teacher and says, well, I respect and love my teacher, and my teacher loves me, so who's right? And that's really confusing for a child. No, you are not made by God. You are here by chance. You're simply just another animal in this scheme of... And mom and dad are teaching one thing. And they come to church and they hear another thing, or the same thing. And then imagine all of a sudden stepping into a world where it's completely contrary. And that's difficult for young people. In Isaiah chapter number 32, say, why do you have a Christian school? Is it difficult to have a Christian school in New York State? I'll say this. It is 100% worth it. Worth it. Would it be easier to have a... Yeah, it would be easier pretty much to have a school anywhere else. It'd almost even be easier in Canada. I don't even know. but it's worth it. Isaiah 32, in verse 18, and my people shall dwell. Number one, that threefold cord in a young person's life, number one is their home. The home has, listen now, the greatest influence. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Listen to what this sounds like. This is God's design. A peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That's a great example for what our home should be. Peaceable habitation. Hey, you understand this. That for a home to be peaceable, that's going to take commitment. That's going to take direction. That's going to take purpose. That's going to take some leadership. You let kids, we were at church this morning. I'm in my office. I'm actually stamping honor roll things, and I just hear craziness going on in the gym. What is it? It's my own kid playing and just crazy. What happened? Kid just left himself. What do they need? Well, for peace to happen, they need leadership to come in and say, put that down, put him down, and you know what our homes need? I'll tell you. They need some leadership in their homes. Say, well, our home is difficult. I don't care what it looks like. This is what is needed, though. Commitment, direction, leadership. Maybe you're a grandparent raising a child. I understand. You know what that tells me? Things didn't go according to plan. But that young person that's living inside your home, you know what they need? They need leadership, direction. They need a commitment to peace. Because left to themselves, why do so many young people get themselves in trouble? Because it's easier to pacify someone by turning on the television or putting a screen in front of them than it is to interact. I'll just let this program program you. Hey, mom, hey, dad, turn that thing off. Peaceable habitation takes commitment. Takes direction, takes purpose. Bible describes it in Isaiah 32 by sure dwellings. It ought to be a place of protection. Our homes ought to be a place of protection where our young people can come and feel protected from the world. Feel and experience true love. That's a sure dwelling place. Why are some kids quick to get out of the house? Maybe because they haven't. Maybe some of this didn't show up. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying. Do your best at these things. Now, here's what is involved in homes these days. Not just walls, windows, doors, you know, all that, refrigerator. But there's sinners living inside a place. Understand there's going to be conflicts. This isn't easy. This isn't smooth. This isn't always the... Understand that. We all need to show one another some grace and mercy. Kids to parents, parents to kids. Kids need the love too. The home is not only described as a peaceable habitation, a sure dwelling, but also a quiet resting place. It's a refuge. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I'm just encouraging you here today, whatever your house looks like, whether you live in an apartment or a mansion, whether you have 10 people in your house or one or two, it doesn't matter. Make it peaceful, make it sure, and give it that quiet resting place, a place of refuge. Proverbs chapter number 3. This is what our homes ought to look like. Say, our home doesn't look like this. I'm not talking about siding. We're not talking about the height of the chimney. We're not talking about how many cars are in the garage. No, we're talking about the spirit and the what is happening within those doors, within those walls. Isaiah 32 gave us a great description. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33 says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Hey, make a commitment to choose to do right. Say, well, I don't really know the long-term benefits of choosing to do right. God says he'll make it a good habitation. He will bless that habitation by you choosing to do right. You choose to do right in this personal area over here. Young person, listen to me. You choose to do right in your home. You know what God says? There are blessings to be lived in. It's a habitation of blessings. But it requires the choice for righteousness. If you went home today and as parents and say, okay, we are going to get rid of all filters. You can watch whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. I'm telling you, they will sing your praises. They will love you. They are so excited. That's easy. No, it's hard. Turn that off. No, I don't think it's a good idea that we listen to this. No, I don't think it's a good idea that you wear that. No, you're not going there. Man, you want easy? Just let them do whatever they want. But I promise you, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. There is a unique blessing given by God and God alone when we choose to do right. Again, whether you run an orphanage or it's a studio apartment and it's just you, do that. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Say, Pastor, you said this was going to be quick. All right, well, you're distracting me. I don't know what to say. Proverbs chapter number 24 and verse 3. Listen to this. Look at so much effort is given towards personal finances. And I think we should be wise stewards of what we have and what God has given to us. But I also think that there are riches beyond gold and rubies and gems. And there's something far more valuable than all of that. God describes it in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. Through wisdom and house builded. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. Well, look at what it says. With all precious and pleasant riches. Hey, I want to live in a nice house. I want to live in a place where God blesses. I want to then find out what God says about things. Get some understanding with that. And then go do that. That's knowledge. That's understanding. And that's wisdom. If we gave the same efforts towards that as we do, making sure we work enough overtime to be able to afford that two-week vacation with everybody, and I think you should take vacations. I think it's great. Make memories. Have a great time. But are you giving effort? You understand that 2 weeks away in some remote place having a time of it, you understand there's 50 more weeks where there ought to be wisdom, understanding, and knowledge according to the Scriptures that are taught at home. He says, I have riches, pleasant and precious riches. The Bible says the chambers of your house will be filled with those things. That's what our home ought to look like. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, familiar passage. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Here we see the importance of teaching the Scriptures. In verse 6, it says this, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Tell me about your home. Is it peaceable? Is there sure dwellings? Is it a quiet resting place? Is there a choice of righteousness? Is it rich in pleasant things, wisdom and understanding and knowledge? Are the Scriptures taught there? Are the principles of the Scriptures taught there? Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. The first portion of that threefold cord is the home. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but look at what it should do. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. That's encouragement. That's pruning. That's feeding and meeting the needs of. And admonishing. What does that mean? That's correcting. Sometimes there has to be pushback. So I just don't like confrontation. You're going to be confronted with some things then down the road if you don't confront now. At our house, we have a range of children from 18 to 10, and I promise you, I can tell you from experience, it is easier to do it when they're younger than it is when they're older. Fight the battles young. You won't have to fight them as much when they're old. As much. Threefold cord. What gives strength to our young people? A home that looks like this. Say, my home doesn't look like this. Then choose righteousness. Align it with the Word of God. I'm not sure if you are aware of this, and again, forgive me for my sarcasm. You're probably very much aware of this. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an absolute disaster mess. And people are scratching their heads going, I don't know why our homes are just falling apart. Well, this is what the Scripture says. Yeah, I know a better way. No, there is no better way. The best way is God's way. Has been, always will be. The strength of a threefold cord. Number one, a home. Number two, a church. Purpose of the church. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. First Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The Bible says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the church ought to be. The pillar and ground of the truth. And what a blessing that is, to be able to handle and hold in our hand truth. Mr. Parrott read it this morning in Galatians. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? And what a great question. What a contemplative question, right? I got to think about that. Man, who do I get upset with, or who do I not want to hear because they tell me the truth? Probably, I'll tell you this, probably the people that are closest to you. Probably the most loved ones. But here, the purpose of the church is to be that pillar and ground of truth. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's look there. What a blessing to have a church house this morning. Be able to come in here, hear the Word of God taught. Mr. Parrott is doing a fantastic job in the book of Galatians. Thoroughly enjoying it. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There was a mission statement for the church. This would be a good one. The perfecting of the saints. Say, you're trying to make us perfect? No, just complete. Trying to figure out where it is that you're at in your walk and get you to the next step, one step closer to Christ. Every single week, every single moment, all the time. Are you saved? No, then let's get there, right? All right, let's get the Word of God in your hands now. Are you baptized? No. All right, that's the next step. And then let's start learning the Scriptures. Now let's start getting involved. Now let's go back and find someone else that doesn't know and go tell them. And just figuring out where it is that you're in your life and get to the next step, the perfecting of the saints, the getting closer to Christ. Completing the saint. The saint is not just some, we think of maybe your upbringing is one where saints are these people that did wonderful and amazing things for the cause of Christ, and these unique individuals. Maybe you have a little card with their face, and this is the patron saint of some. Hey, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint according to God. One of the purposes of the church is find out what's missing in your life and try and add it through the Word of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit of God, the perfecting of the saints. Look at the next thing, for the work of the ministry, an opportunity to serve God, to worship, to give, to follow in faith, and then serve others. Teaching, what a great opportunity. Hey, if you want to learn something, prepare to teach it. Preaching, God uses preaching. 1 Peter chapter number 4. So, our homes, one part of that threefold cord. Our church house. Those two things ought to overlap quite a bit. Connect a lot. Like, the same things that we're hearing at home ought to be the same things that are hearing here. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 10. The Bible says this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hey, we've been given a great gift in the grace of God. What are you doing with it? Well, I'm keeping it for myself and not doing anything. I'm not sure that was the purpose. We ought to minister that. We ought to be ministers. It says that there. Look at verse 11. If any man speak, I've heard all of you. You all have a voice. Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 23 reminds us that we're here to serve others. And one great opportunity that the church is the ministering of the saints, to serve others. I so appreciate our nursery workers. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You say the word nursery and kids hear that and it's like, I don't know. But if we emptied out the nursery into this place, some of you would have a hard time concentrating. I would have a hard time concentrating. I can roll with a lot of things. I'm good with it. Cell phones, coughing, sneezing. I'm good with all that. Even kids. I love the kids. I love them. Glad they're in church. That's an opportunity to serve. Well, I'm not good at talking. All right, well, how about this? Can you do this? That's nursery ministry right there, 101. Gentlemen, you're not allowed, but ladies can work in there. Kids, can you do this? All right, let's see. All right. Hold on, sit right here. Good night, Moon. We can do that, right? And then good night, Moon, again. And again. Teach a Sunday school class. Man, those kids are incredibly forgiving and sensitive. I'm going to mess them up. I'm going to lead them in the wrong way. I'm going to say something that's going to forever scar them. No, just as long as you produce an Oreo at the end, it doesn't matter what you say. They just need you to be consistent, faithful, in there, a good craft every now and then, and sweets. And teach the Word of God. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to minister. Thankful for a church that has opportunities to minister. The Bible says edifying of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, that was the third thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Next Sunday you wake up and it's time to get going. I don't know. Maybe it's hard for you to get up on Sunday mornings. I don't know. My schedule is probably a little different than yours on Sunday. So I get up extra early and get here extra early. We usually pull in around 8:30 or quarter to 9 or so. And here long before. So I understand that's not your schedule. But if you get up next Sunday and your child announces, I don't want to go to church today. Oh, thank you. I appreciate your insight. Get ready. We're going. Why? Because it's an important cord in their life. It's going to give them strength. The home. Imagine if your 12-year-old says, you know what, I don't really appreciate the way you're leading this home. I'm out of here. That would not be the best thing for you, nor would it be in the church house, because it all works together. As we edify the body of Christ, we encourage one another to keep going for the cause of Christ. Keep going. Don't quit. May we edify or build up one another, the Bible says, for the glory of God. Those are the first two really important chords that go together. And now when we can add a third one. Our school's desire, and it's written right into our handbook, is to be an extension of the home. The things that you're teaching, the things that are being taught in your home and at the church house, we intend to teach here also. Go with me to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 2, it says this. Let's look at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. The Bible says in Galatians 4:2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Inevitably, the parent holds all responsibility for education. Now, if you're like most homes, most of the time the parent, the father, works. So they can designate somebody else or delegate the responsibility of doing some educational teaching to a school or to another parent at home, an opportunity there. Let me show you a couple things. Proverbs chapter number 1. Here's some things that are taught here at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. I can't speak for other schools, I can tell you our endeavor. Are we flawless in this? No. But we try really hard. But again, kind of like our homes, we're made up of people. And sometimes we miss the mark. But we endeavor and try. Appreciate, again, your graciousness. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our desire here at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy is the teachings of that you have at home towards the Word of God and to fear God. We're just going to continue to carry that on here. And Psalm chapter 34, look there. Psalm 34 in verse 11. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We were driving, I don't remember where we were driving. We were driving, Joe, you were in, where's Joe? Joe's in Sunday school? Good. I'll talk about him for a second. And we're in the car, and he's describing to us the difference between the Jewish and Gregorian calendars and where they originated from. And I was driving. I dozed off for a second, but it wasn't bad. I'm like, where are you learning this stuff? He's like, it's school. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Sam Gippin is Valiant for Truth is teaching us about, man, it's neat to hear the things that they're learning about. I was helping Abby study the other day, and she was doing her science nervous system. And it teaches biology and how the nervous system works, but throughout there, it brings out these biblical truths. Just like kind of how this insulates you from the, and you know what, there's this fatty layer over each nerve cell that protects it from things. And you know, God insulates you from some things, and just unique biblical perspective. It's wonderful. If you've ever had an opportunity to be able to come into our school and read with the little people, more times than not, for the first two times or so, someone that volunteers comes and brings me a pace and says, I wish I would have learned this. And they're holding a first grade or second grade pace book. It's wonderful. It's wonderful what we get to do every single day. C.S. Lewis says this, the task of the modern educator is not to cut down jungles, but to irrigate deserts. And that's what we try and do. We try and take an area that is maybe dry and bring the Word of God to it. Along with history and science, and we're thankful for that. But not only that. Imagine this. Now, Titus chapter number 2. This will be our last verse that we look at. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. I want to tell you what a blessing the school is, and that as staff and as people that are in charge attempt to do, again, not only the same things that you're teaching at home, not only the things that they're being taught in school or in church, but now the things that you're trying to model at home, we also try to model at school. All of our staff, by definition, is members of our church on purpose. And the Bible says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, but he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Our desire at our school is to also be an example. So the only time that your young person is hearing the truths of the Word of God is not from your mouth. You know, I heard my mom say that one time. My dad was trying to explain to me that. My experience has been this. All young people have questions. Questions about life. Questions to understand why things are the way they are. And if they don't have an outlet to ask those questions, they'll find one. And sometimes it's not truth. I'm thankful for the Word of God that equips us as a school and you as a and us as a church and you as a home to be able to explain why things are the way they are with a biblical perspective. Now, if we can imagine this, we have a home that as best as they can, no matter what it looks like, grandparents, parents, single parent, both parents, whatever. Takes the Word of God and not only teaches it, exemplifies it. And then they come to church on Sunday and they get further teachings and examples of the Word of God. And then imagine Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 3:30, except for on Wednesdays, have a half day. They get it again. That threefold cord will not be easily broken. That's why we have a school. We don't have a school because it's easy or convenient or not costly. We have a school because of what we can do on a daily basis. I beg of you that you pray for our school. Say, why? Again, we are a school in New York State. Some of you have experience having a business in New York State. Try having a school. Thankful for the opportunity. Every single week, I don't think a week goes by that we as a staff don't thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to have this. I want you to go out here in a few moments and look at the pictures of the kids. So special. Love them so much. Love them as people. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. But nor are we, right? And just look at some of those faces and say that's why we have a school. To be able to help be that third fold in the cord. To reinforce the things that are being taught at home. To reinforce the things that are being taught in church. And then to be an additional example to that. Say, we homeschool. All right, great. Don't neglect these things here. Let's all stand. Maybe you heard some things this morning about your home. Say, man, we got a long way to go if that's the measure of what God wants. A peaceable habitation, sure dwelling, quiet place. Hey, can I encourage you to make choices of righteousness? Choosing right is so important. Say, we need finances. Oh, I can promise you wealth and riches beyond your imagination. Say, how so? Taking the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of God. Your chambers of your home will be filled with riches. Teach the scriptures. Say, I think I can do better. I think we need to do better as a home. And maybe husband and wife or mom, dad, grandparents, whoever it is, come forward and talk to the Lord together. As a church, you know, we treat churches somewhat important. Maybe you need to make a little deeper commitment to that. Maybe you need to look for an opportunity to serve, get involved. And thirdly, maybe you could just pray for our school. I understand it's not for everybody, but I hope you understand what we're trying to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of invitation. Thank you for the ability and strength that we can offer to young people. A home, a church, and a school that is founded in you. Lord, help us to do our obligation. Lord, help us to be the teachers. Help us to be the examples. God, thank you for it. Thank you for these young people. Thank you for the good speech we heard this morning. I look forward to the young people singing tonight. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?